So it's good to be here. We just want to read a few verses in Mark's Gospel again. The Gospel according to Mark in chapter 6. And my wife is here. Mark chapter 6 and verse number 1. And Jesus went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence has this man these things, and what wisdom is this which was given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, and Joseph, and of Judah, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honour, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he had laid his hands on a few sick folks and healed them. And he marvelled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching. And that's all we'll read tonight, and we know the Lord will bless the reading of his word. I just want to underline three little statements that we find in these verses. Statements that are very sad and very searching. But even verse number 3 at the end of the verse, that the people were offended at Christ. The people stumbled over Christ. They were offended at Christ. Maybe you're here tonight and maybe you find Christ an offence. Maybe you find Christ a stumbling block. So you're quite happy with the whole idea of religion, the whole concept about religion and about churches and all these sort of things. But as far as Christ is concerned, the person of Christ and the teachings of Christ and the cross of Christ, you're offended. Maybe to you, Christ is an offence. He's a stumbling block. It says too in verse number 5 that he could there do no mighty work. And there was the Lord Jesus in their midst, and he was longing to do a mighty work. And he couldn't. Because of their unbelief. The Lord Jesus Christ is longing tonight to do a mighty work in your coming. He's longing to do a mighty work in your life. And the reason he can't tonight is because of unbelief. Unbelief. Oh, it's not that you don't believe in Christ. You believe all the facts about Christ. You believe all the stories about Christ and all the Bible's got to say about Christ. You believe all that. But you've never yet believed in him. You've never trusted in him. And until you trust in the Lord Jesus, until you make that commitment to the Lord Jesus will never be able to do a mighty work in your life. You think what it must have meant for the Lord Jesus as he moved around these villages, these towns. The town of Nazareth, where he was brought up. Where his mother was and his half-brothers and sisters. There they were. They were all in that place and the Lord preached there and longed to do a mighty work. He couldn't. Because of unbelief. Think of how he must have felt rejected. How he must have felt disowned. How he must have felt that he just met with the total disapproval of the people. How does the Lord Jesus feel tonight? As these meetings have run for 3 weeks and we're into the fourth week, and he longs to do a mighty work. He longs to do a mighty saving work in your life. He longs to transform your life. He longs to reconcile you to God. He longs to fit you for heaven. And he can't. Because of your unbelief. Because Christ has become a stumbling block to you. He's become an offence to you. And you've rejected him. Rejected him. How did he feel then? How has he felt in the nights gone past as he's been presented in these meetings? He's been lifted high as the Saviour, the loving Saviour that died for sinners. as the appeal of the Lord Jesus has rung out night after night, as the Saviour has appealed to men and women to trust Him, to yield their all to Him. Night by night, the folks have listened. And they've made their way through the door, into the street, and they're gone. And Christ has been rejected. He's been disowned. He's been disapproved. Have you ever felt rejected? Have you ever felt that you were just not wanted? Longing to be somebody's friend, and them saying no. Longing just to draw near to someone to be a comfort and a help and an encouragement, and that person has spurned you and turned your back on. Have you felt rejection? I'm sure most in the meeting at some time have felt it. Maybe you felt it as a little kid in the school playground. Maybe you felt it in your own family circle. Maybe you know what it is to be rejected by a mum or a dad. And to be rejected by your parents and rejected by your family. And you felt the keen edge of that. You felt the pain of that deep, deep, deep within your heart. There's no pain so cutting, so deep, as the pain of rejection. That's how Christ felt. There He was in Nazareth. The one that had done nothing wrong. Every word that He spoke was a word of kindness. Everything He did was a manifestation of who He was, the blessed Son of God. The manifestation of His tender love was in every action and every word that He spoke. And time and time again He appealed to men and women to repent and to turn to Him. And they rejected Him, and they despised Him, and they were offended Him, and He felt it. And He feels it. Every night you reject Him. Every time you hear the gospel and you say, listen, the Lord Jesus feels the pain of rejection deep, deep, deep within His heart. Can I ask you then? Why are you rejecting my blessed Saviour? Why are you still saying no to Christ? I wonder, is it pride? Is it pride? You know, that's really what keeps many back folks back from Christ. It's just pride. Maybe you're too proud tonight to admit that you really need Christ. Maybe you think that right now in your life, you're in charge and you're doing all right and you don't really need His interference, that you'll get through your problems in your own steam. Maybe you're too proud tonight to admit that you really need Christ in your life. You need Him as your Saviour. Is that your problem tonight? Is that why you're still saying no to the Saviour? Too proud to admit you need Christ. Too proud to confess your sin to Christ. Because you see, everyone that must come to Christ, they must come in the confession of their need as a sinner. Because that's why we really need Him. We need Him to save us from our sins. We need Him to cleanse us from our sins. We need Him to forgive our sins. But the Lord Jesus can't forgive our sins unless we're prepared to confess them. Maybe you're too proud for that thing. That's why you're still away from Him. That's why you're still rejecting Him. That's why you're still on that broad road that's going down to a lost eternity. It's because your proud, proud, arrogant heart won't allow you to confess your sin to Christ. It's never easy to confess that we're wrong, is it? Because of the stubbornness of the human heart. You think of that young man that's referred to as the prodigal son, and we read about him in Luke Gospel chapter 15. You think of that day and all the pride and arrogance of youth as he left his father's house and made his way to the far country to live his own life and do his own thing, and he would have a great time. And suddenly everything collapses round about him. His money's gone, his friends gone. That's what happens, isn't it? When your money goes, your friends go. Then there was a famine came, and he was desperate, and he was hungry, and he's sitting feeding swine, and he would even have eaten what the pigs were eating. And he said, I'll need to get back to the Father. And he knew he could never get back to the Father until he confessed his sin. Can you see that young man making his way by? I tell you, it was a different man. No longer his head held high in all the pride and arrogance of youth, but his head bowed in contrition and humility as he come back and says, Father, I've sinned. Father, I've sinned. I've sinned. He was stripped of all his pride, and all his arrogance, and all his self-sufficiency. I've sinned. That why you're still rejecting Christ then? That why you're still saying no? Because you're too proud. Too proud to come to that point in your life when you just bow before the Lord Jesus. And say, Lord Jesus, I've sinned. I've sinned and I need you to be my Saviour. I need you to cleanse me. I believe that you died on the cross to save me from my sins. Maybe you're too proud then to receive the forgiveness of Christ. Too proud to receive the gift of salvation. You see, my friend, salvation is a gift. The gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ the Lord. By grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. My friend, it's all a gift. Maybe you're too proud to receive it. You know what it's like, the stubbornness of man's heart. You know, we like to think we're contributing to something. We don't like to receive something for nothing. And when a friend comes and does a wee job in the house for us, you know, we're wanting to pay them. We don't like taking anything for nothing. Too proud. My friend, the Lord Jesus is offering you everything for nothing tonight. He's offering you eternal life. He's offering you the free gift of salvation. He's offering you forgiveness. And it's all for nothing. There's nothing you can do tonight but just receive it. Are you too proud to take it tonight? You would rather try and work your way to heaven. You would rather try to merit your way into God's favour. My friend, it's impossible tonight. The only folks that are going to be in heaven, the only folks that have been brought into a right relationship with God, are those that have received the gift of God's salvation in Christ. Will you receive it today? As it's offered. My friend, the gift of salvation is offered freely, but as we've said in nights gone past, it's no cheap. God's not offering you anything cheap tonight. God's not offering you anything, something that's cost him nothing. He's offering you something that's cost him everything. And you're saying no to it. The price that God paid in order that he could offer you the gift of eternal life, the gift of full salvation, the price he paid was the drops of his son's precious blood on the cross at Calvary. Paul tells the Romans, he says, God spared not his own son, but delivered him up for his all. Delivered him to that shameful cross. Delivered him to the agony of Calvary. God sent his son to die on the cross to provide for you the gift of salvation. And you're saying no to him. You're saying no. Too proud. You want to try something else? Too simple. You think there's another way, my friend, there is no other way. The Bible tells us that salvation is in the Lord Jesus. And there's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. Salvation's only in him, and the Lord Jesus is offering that salvation as a free gift. Will you take it tonight? If I was to offer you an expensive present as you went out the door, I tell you, you wouldn't hesitate in taking it, would you? And you would just thank me. You see, it would be an offence, wouldn't it, not to receive a present that somebody was offering but as an expression of their love and their friendship. My friend, you're offending God.
by refusing to accept the offer of salvation in the person of his son? Are you going to offend him again tonight? Are you going to say no? Are you going to tell God you don't want his salvation, you don't want his son, you don't want his forgiveness? Are you going to tell God your salvation is good enough for other people, but it's no good enough for me? My friend, what's keeping you back from Christ? Because I tell you, if you leave this meeting without receiving the Lord Jesus into your life and accepting him as your Saviour, I want to tell you, my friend, you'll suffer again the awful pain and the awful agony of rejection. Maybe it's the love of sin that's keeping you back from Christ. Maybe that's why you're still rejecting Christ, because you still want your sin. I remember years ago there was a preacher having meetings down in Kilmarnock in the Grand Hall, and the guy that was the hall cleaner was listening to the preaching every night, and he spoke to the preacher after the meeting as he was clearing up, and he said, you know, he says, I would love to be saved, he says, but he says, the problem's the drink. And the preacher says, you know, he says, you trust Jesus Christ as your Saviour, he says, and he'll give you power over the drink. Oh, he says, that's not the problem, he says, I don't want to get rid of the drink. You see, he was enjoying it too much. Maybe that's why you're not saved tonight, because you're enjoying your drugs too much, and you're enjoying yours too much, and you're enjoying, my friend, I want to tell you, you'll never really trust Christ until you're sick and tired of your sin. You aren't ready for it. The Bible says it's only fools that make a mock at sin. Sin's not something that you can play around with. Sin is a cruel master. And the person that that commits sin, the Bible says, is a slave of sin. Sin masters them. That's really what's in the balance tonight. It's either your sin or the Saviour. Are you saying tonight, I want to keep a hold of my sin?
I want to hold on to those sinful habits. I don't want to give them up. They're so precious.
My friend, it's your sin that's taking you down to hell.
It's your sin that will take you into the caverns of the lost forever. That's how serious your sin is. Oh, right now you might find it a wee bit pleasant. And you might get a wee bit of pleasure out of your sin. But my friend, it's your sin that's taking you down and down and down and down. And are you going to hold on to that? And refuse the blessed Savior that longs to deliver you from sin's power and cleanse you from its defilement? The one who longs to be your Savior in your life. Oh my friend, what's keeping you back from him? What's keeping you back from him? Is it the love of the world? The love of the world. It's maybe the love of the world, the pleasure. And you maybe think, well, you know, if I became a Christian, if I received the Lord Jesus into my life, you know, my life would really need to change. And there's things that I do, and there's places that I go that I wouldn't be free to go there anymore, and I wouldn't be free to do them, and that's right. And don't let anybody tell you it's not right, because it is right. When a person becomes a Christian, their life's got to change, their habits have got to change, the places that they frequent has got to change. Because those places people go are inconsistent with a Christian being there. But maybe you like your pleasures too much. My friend, what are a few courtly pleasures in this? In comparison with the torments of hell. What are a few essential pleasures in earth
in comparison with the agony that we'll experience by the damned and a lost eternity? I say, what's keeping you back then? What's keeping you back to Christ? What are you holding on to? What is causing you to inflict the pain of rejection? blessed man that loved you so much
that he died for you in the crucified time.
It might be the world of pleasure that's keeping you back. It might be the world of business and the world of material things. Maybe that's the big thing in your life. Maybe that's the thing that you're pursuing after. Maybe that's the big goal, the big idol in your life. Not so much that you're living for the pleasures of this world. You're living for the prosperity of this world. The Bible says that riches profit not in the day of wrath. No pockets in a shroud. You'll leave the world the same way as you come in the world. You'll leave it with nothing. Well, that's not true. My friend, if you die without Christ, you'll leave it with your sins. And every one of them will need to be accounted for before the great white throne of God. Praise God, your sins can be cleansed by the precious blood of Jesus. Every one of them can be washed white as snow tonight by the blood that he shed on the cross. And you're still thinking tonight. You're living for this world and the things of this world. You want to make a name for yourself here. You want to be popular here. You want to be prosperous here. You know, my friend, to pursue after this world's things is incomparable to being a disciple and a servant of the Lord Jesus. You see, there is a cost to be involved in following Christ. The Lord Jesus says, if anyone wants to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. It's commitment, it's surrender, it's abandonment to Jesus Christ and his will for our lives. Maybe you're not prepared for that. You don't want to relinquish control of your life to him. You want still to have your ambitions, you want still to have your plans. My friend, I want to tell you, Christ's got a much better plan for your life than you've got for him. And he's got much greater prosperity in store for you than the world can ever offer you. Blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. And yet you want a few of the world's coppers. And you'll spurn the currency of heaven with all its wealth and its riches. What's keeping you back from Christ now? That's the burden of my heart tonight. Why did these people reject him? The greatest man that ever lived, and he's in their midst. And he's pleading and he's appealing. And he just longs to bless them and save them. And they say no. And they just find him an offence, and they find his message an offence. It's all a stumbling block. And the Lord says, I'm here, I want to do a marvellous work. I want to do a mighty work in your village. I want to do a mighty work in your heart. I want to do a mighty work in your home, but I can't. Because of your unbelief. Because you're not prepared to come to me. You're not prepared to trust me. You're not prepared to yield your all to me. Oh my friend, I'm going to sit down. I'm just going to ask you, what are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do with him? Because you have a decision to make in relation to the person of the Lord Jesus. You can go to the hall and you can talk about the preacher and you can say, well, I'll never go back to hear that guy. And that's all right, my friend. But that's not really the issue. The issue is what you're going to do with the Savior. You can't sit on the fence. You can't be neutral. Tonight you've got to make a decision either to receive or to reject the person of the Lord Jesus. Now what are you going to do with that? He wants to do a mighty work in your life. He wants to save your soul. He wants to cleanse your sins. He wants to make you right with God. He wants to fit you for heaven. He wants to give you a blessing that is too wonderful for us even to describe. You can only do that if you're comfortable. You can only do that if you're personal. You'll only do that if you put your faith in. If you yield your all, if you'll just put your life in his hands and trust him. Let's keep you back in it. So the fear of man, fear of man. Fear of man brings a snare, says the wise man. But whoso puts his trust in the Lord shall be saved. Who would you rather put your trust in? Your friends? Your family? All these folks that have let you down so many times? Would you no rather put your trust in Christ? That friend that we spoke about a week or so ago that sticks close to my brother, would you no rather put your trust in him? He's not a disappointment. I think he'll do better for you in the world, beloved. He wants to do it. But you need to come to him. You need to trust him. You need to receive him by faith into your life. One of my friends is alive. What decision will you make about Christ? Will you receive him? Just as you sit there, yeah, will you ask the Lord Jesus into your heart? Will you accept him as your Savior? And will you say no to him? My friend, if you leave this building saying no to Christ, I want you to ponder something in your heart tonight. I want you to ponder how he feels. I want you to ponder how he feels. Are you saying no to him? Are you turning your back on him? Are you spurning his love and his grace and his mercy? He's alive in heaven tonight. He's real. And he's got feelings. And the Lord Jesus Christ will feel the pain of rejection by everyone that leaves that hall with it, that door with it. And what will you do with Jesus? Or reject them. The choice is yours. The choice is yours alone, my friend. My gracious God and Father, we would just commit to thee. This audience, we thank you for everyone that's come tonight. Thank you for everyone that has been drawn here by the Holy Spirit, the hear of God, because it's thy desire to speak to him. And we believe, O God, that thou hast spoken to him. And now, O God, it's over to each individual to make a choice. A choice, O God, either just to continue in the way that they're going, to continue in their sins, to make that choice to surrender to the Lord Jesus and to receive him by faith, and to hand over control of their lives to him, to allow him to become their Lord and their Master, to allow him to cleanse them from every sin. Lord, that's the choice tonight. For those of us who are saved, the choice is easy. But Father, for those that are still unsaved, choice is difficult because the old devil's there and he's putting doubts into their mind, he's putting fears, he's bringing in confusion, Lord. We just pray that they would just grant that those that are right on the balance tonight, those that are halting between two opinions, those that are flitting from branch to branch, Lord, give them deciding grace tonight, just to say no to the world, to say no to the devil, to say no to their sin, and just for God to say yes to Christ, and to receive him, our God, and know the great joy of sins forgiven and full and free salvation. So, O God, take honour to thy name tonight, and saving sinners we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we'll just take time to sing a couple of verses. 273. 273. We'll now just take time to sing the first three verses. The first three verses of 273, and after that, the meeting's finished. We just thank you again for coming and trust that you will make that wise decision tonight and that you will trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Only a step to Jesus, then why not take it now? Come and thy sin confessing to him thy Savior bow. Only a step, only a step. Come, he waits for thee. Come and thy sin confessing. Thou shalt receive a blessing. Do not reject the mercy he freely offers thee. So we'll just remain seated and sing the first three verses of hymn number 273, and after that the meeting is over. Thanks again for coming.